What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And flooding already starting in Louisiana. This is not over yet by a tiny bit. And again, the issue of gouging, a lot of people are just appalled at this very obvious effort to exploit the disaster for a fast buck here. And Best Buy, a case of water, $42. And it's just horrible. And they're saying on a normal day, you would get the same case of water for $5 or maybe $6. And this crisis hits and the price goes right through the roof. I think there ought to be an anti-gouging law. And I know this because we saw exactly the same thing in Southern California. Claire and I went through the Northridge earthquake. And because we, even back then, were preppers, we got through it with a minimum of upset. But we had a lot of neighbors who were caught completely off guard. And we were hearing all these stories about how bottled water was just insanely expensive. The prices were up like 5, 6, 10 times for basic food and water. And we were not in a position to be able to share with everybody in the entire apartment building, obviously. There were a few people we were close with that we, you know, shared with and said, don't tell anybody. Last thing we need is a crowd of people pounding on our door. But again, how people react in a crisis like this tells you everything you need to know about them. Because the facades come off. And you see who was truly a humanitarian and who was really just a predator amongst us all. Now, getting on back to the medical news, and by the way, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. The government, even with all these disasters, or maybe because of these vaccine disasters and the growing public awareness, the government is trying to fast-track this mandatory vaccination. And the media, of course, is attempting to shout down any criticism whatsoever. And all of this is a violation of the principle of voluntary informed consent, which is in the Nuremberg Code, written after World War II. Now, this was put in there because of the Nazi medical experiments on prisoners. And the voluntary informed consent was that if somebody in the government wants to carry out any kind of a medical treatment on anybody, they have to sit down and say, this is what it's going to do. Do I have your consent? And if you do not consent, they cannot move forward. Now, obviously, what we have here is a situation where they're making a lot of claims about these vaccines, which very often turn out not to be true. And we're not given that principle of a right of refusal. This is a war crime being committed on the American people by the U.S. government, all to prop up the pharmaceutical industry. At the very least, at the very worst, there's something else in those vaccines they don't want us to know about. And it wouldn't be the first time that's happened. There have been many times where so-called free vaccine campaigns in the third world turned out to actually be sterilizing the women so they couldn't have babies. Who knows what the mandatory vaccines they're giving our kids are going to do to them? Now, over in Italy, millions of Italians have been demonstrating since June. The demonstrations are still going on, saying it is an infringement of their parental right to not let them decide what medications their children do or do not get. And they're absolutely right about it. Now, here's another reason to be concerned. The FDA has made an interesting comment about the smallpox vaccine. And it had to do with the FDA attacking a treatment program that involved use of the smallpox vaccine mixed with something else. And buried in that press release, there was this statement from the FDA. Serious health problems, including those that are life-threatening, can also occur in people who have problems with their heart or immune system if they become infected with the smallpox vaccine virus, either by being vaccinated or by being in close contact with a person who was vaccinated. The FDA states that those with certain prior health conditions who pick up the smallpox virus as a result of vaccination are at extremely high risk. Among those prior health conditions is immune system problems. So this is the FDA admitting there is a virus in the smallpox vaccine, that it is active, that it can cause serious medical problems and even death for people who have compromised immune systems. And yet, from 1966 to 1980, there was this massive smallpox eradication campaign carried out in Africa. They gave out 100 million doses of the smallpox vaccine to Africans, many of whom already had compromised immune systems. And by the way, it was from that specific smallpox vaccine campaign that we saw the emergence of the AIDS epidemic. And if you look at the HIV virus, it looks like a cross between bovine leukemia virus and sheep vicina virus, which makes perfect sense because the smallpox vaccine being handed out in Africa wasn't made in a modern clean lab. They set up these shacks and they drew blood from cows that had smallpox but also had bovine leukemia. And the virus was cultured on sheep livers from sheep that had the vicina virus. Ideal conditions for a spontaneous recombination. It was reckless, and I think that's where the AIDS epidemic actually began. It was a hideous accident from sloppy lab techniques during a mandated vaccination campaign. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining us in our third hour here, and we're going to grab a couple of phone calls. Yvonne in New York, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, aloha, Mike. I wanted to comment. I know you already talked about Joel Osteen, but I just wanted to say I went on his Twitter page. What a disgusting man. I went on his Twitter page to see what, you know, he was tweeting. He was asking for donations before even saying that his doors were open. 2 days ago, he was on Twitter saying, oh, this is how you can donate to us. And then an article said that he wanted to be a distribution center. So he was looking to take in money and funding before he even opened his door, was shamed into opening his mm-hmm. doors. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Claire probably knows this, but I just had to say, this man, okay, has obviously never read the Bible. There's actually, in James chapter 2, it actually says, if somebody is naked and destitute of daily food, and you say to him, depart in peace and be warmed, but you don't give him what he needs, you're a horrible person, you know, paraphrasing. He actually says on his Twitter page, oh, be in peace, have peace. Like, he's actually doing word for word what it says in his Bible that he's preaching not to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a horrible, horrible, horrible human being. And I know you already said it, but I just wanted to elaborate on that. And also, just really quick, you were talking about the AIDS virus.
Yes.
Somebody wrote, do you know who it was? They made a movie out of it. No, they made a TV show out of it. It was a gay man, and he actually ended up dying from AIDS, but he wrote a book called, I think it was The Last Dance. Do you know what I'm talking about? They made a TV series about it.
Vague recollection about it, but yes.
Because he was right there, and it's a really, really good book. I don't think the TV series did it justice, but he was right there. He was in the gay community where the outbreak, you know, took place. And he says in the book that they were the CDC, Center for Disease Control, was sending bands to the gay bars to collect blood, right?
Yes.
For donations. So you heard about that?
Well, I know the CDC was collecting blood. I don't know. I don't think it was donor blood for transfusion, but they were definitely taking blood samples trying to track the illness. The reason the AIDS epidemic exploded so quickly in North America, it'll track back to a single patient zero, who was a steward for Air Canada. And this guy was flying all over Canada and the United States, and he knew he was ill, but he was still hitting all those gay bathhouses. And this one guy, you know, literally jump-started the disease into hundreds and hundreds of victims.
And then, but then after that happened, right, because he writes all about that in the book. He writes all about, you know, patient
yes.
zero and all of that stuff. But then he talks about going to the gay bathhouses and the fact that the CDC was aware of the fact they called it the gay cancer? It was
yes.
being called GRID, I think, the gay cancer, right? And the CDC knew that they had this disease, and yet they were collecting blood from them. And that was, at best, reckless, I think, for the CDC to do. But,
well, it depends on what the CDC was going to use the blood for. I mean, if you're going to try and track this illness down, you need blood from infected people to work with. I remember at the time CDC was literally in a race with the Pasteur Institute to identify the pathogen, and obviously there'd be huge profits from identifying and then patenting the pathogen and getting a treatment. There are a lot of people who think that because of that race, that sense of competition, that desire to get where they were going, that they may have in fact identified the wrong pathogen. And that's why so many of these so-called cures and treatments for AIDS have not really worked.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You're just jogging my memory. He wrote about that in the book. I remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks,
we're going to switch over to Kathy in Missouri. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I am having a discussion with someone trying to figure out who's right, okay? And they're a finance person, and we were talking about the Fed and this and that, and I apologize if this is in your video. I haven't had a chance to watch it. But
yes.
They were saying, well, it really goes back to 1825. You know, they're one of these Bostonian types. The Ivy League can be quite arrogant, and I'm basically trying to win the argument. So I've done a lot of research online, and I see the Panic of 18. You know, is there anything in 1825 that would have affected the U.S. banks to get us to where we are now? That was a result of the panic in England, or was there a separate incident in the United States in 1825 that I'm not aware of or have forgotten about?
Well, basically, in 1825, the U.S. had come out of the War of 1812, and that, unfortunately,
right.
Even though they won the war, the War of 1812 was launched by Britain over the U.S. Congress refusal to renew the charter for the First Bank of the United States. So they launched that war. The U.S. won it, but they left the U.S. government in so much debt they had no choice but to charter the Second Bank of the United States. And so they were in the middle of that, leading to Andrew Jackson's campaign to run for his second term in office, at which point he made his platform all about shutting down that second bank.
Right, but 1825 is not a date that comes up regarding any of those events. When I do my searches, I did DuckDuckGoGo, and I've read enough. I've read some of the books that you guys talk about 20, 30 years ago.
Yes.
And, I mean, I even read Duisberg's book, but I read Ellison's book before Duisberg had it pulled, Why We Will Never Win the War Against AIDS. I mean, I was 28 years old or something, ordering these books from the Library of Congress because, you know, I had blood transfusions and I've been to Haiti and, you know, I just basically did my research, and my mother, being an epidemiology nurse and a risk manager, she was on staff as a epidemiology nurse when HIV came out, okay? So I knew all mm-hmm. about it a couple of years before anyone knew about it. So anyways, but I don't see 1825 in the U.S. I don't see that as a trigger event for anything. I see dates around it, but not that date in particular. So I just wanted to run that by you, and I appreciate your time.
All right. Okay, we're fine
you're
there. Thank you very much for the phone call.
Well,
and, yeah, I'm sorry? Okay. Really bad phone connection there. Yeah, I'm looking at All Wars or Bankers Wars, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff around that date, but nothing specifically on that date. But it definitely covers the period of time where the U.S. was forced to accept the Second Bank of the United States, and it did create a huge amount of hostility. Okay, back to the phones. Janet in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
One quick mention from Rush Limbaugh today that General McMasters has now blocked the ban from President Trump on transgenders in the military. That's all I have to say.
Okay, would you run that one by us one more time?
Announced by Rush Limbaugh earlier today, General McMasters has blocked President Trump's ban on transgenders in the military. He feels it needs more study.
Okay. I mean, I can see the obvious political correct dimension there, but there have already been studies. Forget about the transgenders. There have already been studies that were done with mixed gender units versus same gender units, and the results were always that the same gender units were more efficient and worked together better because they identified with each other. And if that's a problem with just mixed gender, I can imagine what it's going to be with mixed orientation as well. So this is pandering to PC-ness at the expense of the efficiency of our fighting force, and I don't agree with that. Janet, thank you very
much. Well, I have adult sons, and they don't have health insurance, but it's nice that they want more of my tax money to pay for these people. I'm thrilled. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. Somebody just sent me this. Remember Charlie Hebdo, where they were French magazine that was coming out with these very offensive covers about the Pope and about Jesus and certainly always about Muslims, and they're the champions of free speech and everything. They've just come out with a new cover showing the flooding in Texas, and all that is sticking above the water are Nazi flags and the Nazi saluting hands. This is their idea of humor. So, getting on back to the science and health issues, this is an interesting development. Apparently, on July 10th, there was a decision by the Office of Special Masters of the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, otherwise known as the Vaccine Court. Now, let me rewind a bit and tell you what the Vaccine Court is all about. In the Homeland Security Act, there was a provision that rendered vaccine manufacturers immune to civil litigation from harm caused by their product. No matter what their vaccines did to you, you couldn't sue them. The theory put forward, or at least the excuse put forward, was in the event of a national emergency or an act of terror, these companies would have to fast-track their vaccines, and they needed legal protection in case somebody made a mistake. No, they just wanted to have the same kind of product indemnification computers have. So instead of being able to sue the vaccine companies directly, everybody who had a complaint about vaccines was required to go to the vaccine court. And overwhelmingly, the vaccine court fines for the vaccine manufacturers. However, there has been a development. Back on July 10th, the vaccine court ruled that sufficient evidence was put forth in a specific case for them to rule that a vaccination caused a child to die from sudden infant death syndrome. The corporate media, of course, is ignoring this. This is huge, because for a lot of years, people have been saying this sudden infant death syndrome is caused by bad vaccines, too many vaccines. And the vaccine manufacturers are saying, you're being silly. It's ridiculous. The parents shook the baby to death. That's it. It was shaken baby syndrome. And a lot of parents, already traumatized by the loss of their child, have been sent to prison to protect the profits of the vaccine industry. And now we have the vaccine court itself admitting and recognizing that, yes, the vaccinations themselves can cause children to die from sudden infant death syndrome. On this point alone, vaccines ought to be optional. But it almost seems like every time there's a new revelation on how dangerous these vaccines are, the more there's a push to make them mandatory. We don't care if they're killing you and messing you up. You will have your 40 shots or you're going to go to jail. Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And somebody just wrote on in saying, is Robert Kennedy Jr. still the head of Trump's Vaccine Safety Committee? I haven't heard word one from him, nor will you. The corporate media, which is heavily dependent on advertising revenues from those vaccine manufacturers, will never, ever touch that story. You're going to find out what's going on with the vaccines. You have to come to the independent media. That's why we're independent. We're not under their control. We're going to take a phone call. Al in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I'm actually the poster boy for these poisons that pharmaceutical companies peddle. On three separate occasions, I've had problems with when I was three, the night I was vaccinated. I went into convulsions when my mother was giving me a bath, and I almost died. The only thing that saved me was I was in the bath water to cool my brain. I ended up in the hospital for about 3 weeks. When I was 11 and had my first fluoride treatment, I was in the hospital for almost a month. I almost died. And when I was 32, I went in for hay fever shots. And the second to last shot, the doctor had hit a vein and dosed me with the stuff right in my bloodstream. And, of course, you know, my heart rate went up. My blood pressure went through the roof. I could have stroked out. Mm-hmm. But he even admitted, like, the next doctor's appointment, that this is how problems happen with needles. It doesn't really matter what the needle is. And I've talked to you about this before. These intramuscular shots, if they do hit a vein, you know, it's hit and miss. You could live or die. And, I mean, are people comfortable with that, you know, that those kind of odds? You know, like a 50-50 chance at that point. It's crazy. Why did they do this? Just to make a buck.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They're doing this to make a buck. The medical industrial complex decided there wasn't enough money in making treatments and medicines for sick people, so they were going to sell medicine to perfectly healthy people and get the government to make it mandatory. It's, as I've said before, it's just like the old traveling Wild West medicine show. You know, run the wagon into the middle of the town, crank down that backstage, come on out, tell a scary story about a disease on the other side of the Great Plains, and sell them bottles of pepper oil.
That's hilarious. Here's the bitter irony about some of this, Mike. I've only had one cavity in my life.
Yes.
And it's like the size of a diamond. It's in one of my back molars. You know, like it's so small. I'm the one that noticed it and went to the doctor, went to the dentist. And I've had the same dentist since I was a child when this happened. And you know, I mean, afterwards I was never allowed anywhere near sodium fluoride, and even the toothpastes I use were sodium fluoride free. So, you know, it's a big lie. It's an absolute lie. I've seen people in the United States when I used to travel down there a lot that had, you know, the classic overfluoridation type of thing with their teeth. They were, you know, like rotting and white splotches and stuff like that. And, you know, one time I had to ask, what happened to your teeth? And that person said fluoride.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you know, if these smelters want to peddle their poison and try and, you know, put it in our water, I mean, this is just crazy. Up here in Canada, it's perfectly acceptable. I know a lot of places in the United States, they're fighting it, and they're winning. And that's great. That's a you know, what I suspect in Canada, they're going to try and put lithium in the water next. Try and keep
the BBC
mellow.
Is already pushing that. The BBC is pushing that. Now, luckily here in Hawaii, they stopped fluoridation back in the 1990s. Because of the recognition that drinking fluoride does not, in fact, have any effect on tooth decay. It acts as a mild tranquilizer, and that may have been the real agenda all along, to keep us all tranquilized and docile and just not able to really get that emotional energy necessary to stand up and say to the government, we think that you're doing a bad job. Again, it's all about a fast buck. And that's really what fascism is all about. Corporate greed and government authority in perfect alignment against the general population to simply milk them for every cent they can get, and to heck with concerns about health or longevity or anything like that. Al, we got to let you go and take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
NutraMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at WhatReallyHappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And apparently, some of the flood victims for Harvey have really reached the breaking point with all the media that's all over there. And the media's down there with cameras and microphones and, oh, give us a moment for the network. And apparently, at one point, CNN was trying to interview this woman, and the woman just exploded on them, saying, "You're exploiting the hurricane for audience numbers. You know, what's wrong with you people?" He's absolutely right there. There was a rock song a while back called Dirty Laundry, which really, I thought, conveyed a good impression of what the corporate media is all about. If it bleeds, it leads. If it thinks, it stinks. Now, getting on back to the medical news. And yes, it does seem sometimes like they're just putting out any old product they can get away with for a fast buck, and to heck with the long-term consequences. I mean, we certainly get that impression where we'll see a commercial for a new medication or a new procedure, immediately followed by the ambulance chaser commercials saying, if you took that medication and you are in trouble, you may be entitled to a cash settlement. So it's just nothing about churning the money like crazy. And the latest one is coming out of Bayer. And it's a contraceptive implant called Assure. It's a coil implant that works to deliberately trigger inflammation in the fallopian tubes, which will build up scar tissue that blocks the eggs from reaching the womb, which sounds kind of like a non-reversible way of doing this. And they're saying it is a form of permanent sterilization. And unfortunately, the device has been found to be puncturing holes in the fallopian tube and even becoming dislodged and being embedded somewhere else in the body. And apparently some women are reacting badly to the device's materials, which include nickel and polyester. And depending upon how it fastens to the interior of the woman, it can only be removed by taking out the oviduct, the fallopian tubes, or in some cases, an entire hysterectomy. Wonderful, wonderful product here that they have put out there. But it makes money. Supposedly, there's a new high-tech treatment for cancer out there. $500,000 a pop. All right, let's grab a phone call here. Tom in Florida. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good day, Michael. I saw a drug report, and it says health froze over. Nancy Pelosi's talking about the anti-leftist, communist,
yes,
the Bolsheviks. Want to know, I heard there's a big lawsuit going on and just try to sue CNN for calling all of Trump's 64 million voters racist and all this.
Yes.
I think I would like to join on to that that lawsuit, because I think what the media has done, CNN especially, they should be sued and they should be put out of business, because they're a bunch of communist news network Bolsheviks that are the Hillary Clinton news network or whatever you want to call it. I believe that they should be sued and they should be right out of existence for their filth that comes out of their filthy mouths, like Rachel Maddow and all these Maddow leftists they got.
Need to look at the way the laws are written here. First of all, CNN is going to scream that they have a First Amendment right to say that we're all deplorables and racists and so forth and so on. And the ability to collect on a civil suit for defamation, you have to prove CNN intended malice toward the target of the story, which is kind of hard when the target of the story represents a significant portion of the entire population.
Michael, another thing I want you to know, I did a FBI statistics study on the computer, and I looked at 10 cities with murder rates of crime with like Black Lives Matter. You know what I came to the conclusion? There's 5,870. You can check it out. 5,874 murders this year alone, and all the 10 largest cities in the United States, the murder rate. There's over 5,000, yes, 6,000 murders. Now, if it was the opposite way, could you imagine?
I'm sorry, what do you mean by 6, the opposite
000,
way?
I mean by the opposite way, if it was white, let's put it this way, if whites were killing blacks in this kind of substantial numbers, it would be in the news media 24 hours a day. Since it's black-on-black crime, you don't hear nothing about it. If you had white people killing 100 of them, it'd be all over the news for the next century. It's unbelievable.
Okay, you know? Well, Tom, take a deep breath here, because I'm coming in on this thing. Yeah, the corporate media is always pushing the white on black crime. They'll ignore the black on black crime. They'll even ignore the black on white crime, because they're pushing an agenda. And we're seeing the continuation of that agenda with this whole Black Lives Matter and Antifa and this ludicrous idea that whites ought to surrender their wealth to the blacks. It's just like we saw down in Zimbabwe. Now, the good news is this whole thing appears to be stumbling rather badly.
Michael, you're right. Very good.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. And one of our listeners was kind enough to call on in with a specific movie reference. It was called And the Band Played On, Politics, People, and the AIDS Epidemic. And it was a 1987 book by San Francisco Chronicle journalist Randy Schiltz, and then it was made into a TV movie in 1993. And it is definitely worth seeing, and it's got a stellar cast of people who happen to be gay, like Lily Tomlin and Richard Gere, and just did these amazing performances. I think I can't remember. It's a great cast and it's a great movie, and it's a very accurate story. And it talks about this patient zero, this air steward for for Air Canada, who knew he was ill, knew that he had this disease, and yet he was flying all over the Canada and the United States. And on the layovers, he would go to the local gay bathhouses and do what they do or did do in the gay bathhouses, completely unconcerned. And his attitude was, if I have the disease, why shouldn't everybody? And it was extraordinarily irresponsible and reckless attitude for anybody to have. And then they were talking about, the book goes into the fight about closing the bathhouses, which were obviously centers of infection for this whole situation. And the liberals turn it into an issue of gay suppression. We're allowed to have these bathhouses. You're trying to put us back in the closet. Well, just to keep things in focus, there were no heterosexual bathhouses at that time. So that's kind of how that got out of control. And the other part of the book, and this is really the important part, was the intense competition between the CDC and the Pasteur Institute to identify and patent the specific pathogen causing AIDS. And they may have jumped the gun, and there is still a concern to this day that the human immunodeficiency virus that has been identified may not, in fact, be the sole cause of acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Okay, we're going to take a phone call. Larry in Washington State, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Have you ever read Dr. Lorraine Day's book about AIDS?
No.
You know who Dr. Lorraine Day is?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Jeez. Okay, she was a chief orthopedic surgeon down in San Francisco General during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
She had to work in the moon suit because
yes.
of blood contamination. And in that, this is prior to that flight attendant, whatever, the young man.
Mm-hmm.
At her and I think it was Leonard Horowitz talked about AIDS was a actual disease that was implemented, and Kissinger got it passed to find this, an autoimmune disease, and that it was, they asked for volunteers in New York, San Francisco, and some other place to get these hepatitis B shots.
Yes.
That were carrying the AIDS virus. And it wasn't started by any flight attendant having sex with 100 people at one of the bathhouses.
Well, if I recall correctly, and it's been a long time since I've looked at this material, the hepatitis B shots were occurring at about the same time that this flight attendant was doing his thing. And in all cases, it appeared that the AIDS virus came into this country from African immigrants who were then basically spreading it through the hepatitis shots, and it got into these other blood supplies because they didn't know the pathogen was there until it started showing a specific set of symptoms. And that's when CDC and Pasteur began to really look for a unique pathogen that was causing these symptoms. But yeah, the creation and the initial introduction of AIDS or the virus was just one bad decision after another, after another, after another. It was a cascade of poor decision making.
Then you don't think it was planned?
No. I think it was created as an accident during that rush job smallpox vaccine campaign in Africa. I don't think they
now,
were expecting it at all.
Then you believe that it was some monkey that bit a black over there that spread
it? No, I didn't say that. You're not listening to me.
Well, you're implying it.
No, I didn't imply it at all. You're clearly not listening to my show. I went through the whole explanation earlier of how I suspect that AIDS was an accidental creation of the smallpox vaccine program in Africa because of the sloppy lab techniques being used to create the vaccines. Larry, thank you very much. We're going to let you go here. We're getting up here to the top of the show, and I got a bunch of stuff to get to here. Speaking of diseases and illnesses, apparently there is a major outbreak of hepatitis A among the homeless population of San Diego, and it's believed to be the deadliest eruption of the infectious disease in the United States since the Centers for Disease Control launched its monitoring program back in 1998. So there is another wonderful gift of the open borders agenda. We now have hepatitis A exploding in Southern California. Gee, isn't it wonderful? All right, we're going to take a phone call. Walter in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to talk about the flood. We talk about development, and I know there's like a lot of, I know there's a libertarian sort of bent to this show and everything, but when it comes to like development and planning, I think this is a good example of why you do need, you know, regulations and those type of things for planning, for especially for land use planning, because this is going to be the results if you don't, you know, plan properly. So I just wanted to mention that. And I'm not saying that you have to, like, over-regulate, but that does need to be, and I know you talk a lot about, like, GMOs and those types of things, regulations. So I'm just making the point that you do have to have some type of regulation, because if you don't, the market, the capitalist, that frame of mind will overreign, science and, you know, what things that make sense for the future. So that's my point.
Well, you're absolutely right. In its ideal condition, regulation is going to basically keep corporations from doing things that are harmful to the public. Regulation is going to constrain land use to things that will preserve that land for future generations. Unfortunately, as a nation descends into fascism, regulation becomes another tool or weapon to be used in the wars between corporations, where corporations go to various politicians and say, we need a regulation that limits what our enemies are doing. And the congressman will push that through. And then the other guy says, well, we need a regulation to fight back, to retaliate. And so regulations stop being about controlling the nation for the common good and become just another political weapon. And that's when it's out of control.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Apparently, over at that Arkema chemical plant, the CEO, Richard Rowe, is saying there is no way they're going to be able to prevent an explosion. The plant is heavily flooded. It's only a matter of time before the chemicals on site are going to react to the water and things are going to go bang. So what a horrible, horrible, horrible disaster that this has turned out to be. I think this would be a good time for the United States federal government to rethink its foreign policy and realize that we need to start bringing all of our people back home, all of our money back home, and put this nation to rights before we dare presume to go to other countries and tell them how to live. Because the U.S. government is out there conquering all these other countries, and our country, the United States of America, has clearly decayed to the point of outright danger and risk to everybody. It is clear that the flood control was inadequate, the preparations were inadequate, the drainage was inadequate, the municipal water systems were not well enough protected. Anyway. Okay. Now, somebody is sounding off a warning that broadband providers could steal details about your private life using data from smart devices, the Internet of Things, cameras, sleep monitors, even sex toys. They're starting to make sex toys that hook to the Internet. Why on earth would you want to do that? But it represents another way for the bad guys to get information about you. Security researchers at Moscow-based Positive Technologies have identified an undocumented configuration setting that disables the Intel Management Engine 11, a CPU control mechanism that has been Intel's ME, that has been described as a security risk. Intel's ME consists of a microcontroller that works with the platform controller hub chip, basically it's a digital controller, in conjunction with integrated peripherals. It handles much of the data traveling between the processor and external devices, and thus has access to most of the data on the host computer. If compromised, it becomes a backdoor. giving an attacker control over the affected devices. Now, I'm wondering, since this appears to be a hardware undocumented feature, if this is something mandated by the National Security Agency. Now, if you're an engineer and you're using LabVIEW software to design machines or industrial equipment, you should be very cautious about opening any virtual instrument file, because apparently LabVIEW has an unpatched flaw that will allow hackers to hijack your computer, steal your business design, steal your instrument design, get to market with it quicker than you can. It really is absolutely embarrassing how wide open and weak our IT infrastructure is, apparently at the behest of the government itself. You don't need privacy for your products and inventions. Our need to keep an eye on you supersedes that. No, it doesn't. Read your Fourth Amendment. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program here today. And apparently Russia and China are about to sign an agreement on joint space exploration that will cover the period from 2018, next year, to 2022. This will include sending manned missions to the moon for the first time since the Apollo program. And it is being signed against the background of a new space race that the U.S. is out there trying to win. It's not about peaceful space research only. Now, I am not opposed to a new space race for two reasons. One, I would rather have all these belligerent powers settling their differences out there in the outer reaches of space than down here on the ground where people get caught in the crossfire. Second, and I've made this point before, the economic boom of the 70s, 80s, and 90s was all based on technology developed getting the Apollo spacecraft to the moon and back. The Apollo program was a civilian technology incubator, and I emphasize civilian. We know there are technology incubators for the military, but they hang on to their goodies. By the time any of that technology gets declassified, it's so obsolete, it's useless. There's not much point bringing it to the marketplace anymore. But with NASA during Apollo, as they came up with new stuff and put it out there, it was immediately available to the American people to start new businesses with. And that's where it all began, with the microchip, the microcomputer, all of that. Even today, it's hard to point to anything in your home and not trace its family lineage back to the Apollo project. So I'm fully on board with that, so that we can leapfrog ahead and regain our manufacturing, because we're not going to catch up just making what everybody else is making. And unfortunately, if Russia and China are joining together and they're getting the new technologies, then they're going to get the new industries and the new customer bases as well. I am getting very frustrated with NASA, who are hemming and hawing and dancing around the question of life on Mars. And so there's this new article that's out in Exchange Magazine about how minerals on Mars indicate crater was suitable for microbes. And the story goes on how this vast area on Mars once not only had water, but provided the conditions needed for microbes to exist. And they're just dancing around this whole issue. Now, the Viking lander and Dr. Gilbert Levin's labeled release experiment confirmed the presence of indigenous life all the way back in 1976. And for whatever political reasons, NASA decided to ignore it. They based their conclusion Mars was lifeless on the results from the gas chromatograph mass spectrometer device, which we now know couldn't have possibly worked. There was a design flaw. It didn't take into account the presence of perchlorates in the Martian soil. And so it's very frustrating to see all these people could have had life. Maybe these look like microbes. These could be fossil microbes. Could be. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Somebody take a stand. Put their name on it and say there is or is not life on Mars. All right, there's the music. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good evening. Stay tuned for John Stedmiller. Aloha, America.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk.
That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.